Our scripture reading this morning is from Exodus chapter 34. We'll start in verse 1. And we'll read through verse 9 and then pick up again in verse 29. Exodus 34, starting in verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, "Chisel out two stone tablets like the first ones, and I will write on them the words that were on the first tablets, which you broke. Be ready in the morning, and then come up on Mount Sinai. Present yourself to me there on the top of the mountain. No one is to come with you or be seen anywhere on the mountain. Not even the flocks and the herds may graze in front of the mountain." So Moses chiseled out two stone tablets like the first ones and went up Mount Sinai early in the morning as the Lord had commanded him. And he carried the two stone tablets in his hands. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and the fourth generation. Moses bowed to the ground at once and worshiped. "O Lord, if I have found favor in your eyes," he said, "then let the Lord go with us. Although this is a stiff-necked people, forgive our wickedness and our sin and take us as your inheritance." Then down to verse 29. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, so Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him, and he spoke to them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near him, and he gave them all commands of the Lord that the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went in to speak with the Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you are the source of all goodness to us. We just saw that in that passage with Moses. You're the source of all grace and mercy. We know Moses saw that clearly, but we know we see that most clearly in your son, Christ, and what he did for us on the cross. Both that you are good in all that you do, and you're also just in all that you do. So we praise you for that, God. You don't leave sin unpunished. Even the fact that you punished Christ for our sin on the cross is what allows us to be able to have freedom from sin, forgiveness of sin. So we praise you for that, God. And we pray that your glory would be known through all the earth for the forgiveness of sins you offer people. Father, we confess that we're not like you. We're often not good and gracious and merciful. We don't often show impartial justice to those around us. So forgive us for that, Lord. We pray even in how we live amongst one another and in our communities would show your goodness and your glory to those around us. Thank you, Father, for revealing your glory to us even clearer than what Moses had. It is such a privilege, Father, to have your word, you revealing yourself to us so that we can come to know you and know what it is to live this life as a righteous person. Thank you for doing that here at this church for 140 years. We ask that you would do that again until you tarry. Thank you, Father, for our children's ministry volunteers as they start upstairs teaching a new curriculum this morning. Father, we pray that the Great Commission through our church would be geographical, would go to the ends of the earth, but that it would also be generational and passed down to these children. So thank you for our volunteers who spend time and effort and prayer doing that, would your glory be made known to the children of this church? Father, we know in our country right now there are many spots where people might not see your glory. God, we pray for churches even specifically in the Twin Cities right now. We pray for Vine Church and Pastor Steve, who's preaching this morning. We pray for Cities Church and their pastors as they deal with disruptions to their services in this last week. Father, it's easy to take for granted a country where we can worship freely. But God, we ask it as you tell us to in your word, that all of our rulers and authorities would rule with justice. God, would you cause them to all know you and trust you? And would they rule in a way that would bring you glory, God? God, we pray for our brothers and sisters who are overseas, even our missionaries. Would you continue to work through them, even missionaries like we have, like Michelle Barlow, who can't be where she wants to be serving right now? Would you help her to continue to trust you in that? And would your glory maybe even be made known through her while she's here? As we come to your word now, Father, please, we ask, just like Moses did, that you would show us your glory. Let your glory be seen clearly by us even this morning, that it would shine in our communities. In Jesus' name, amen. Children's Church kiddos, you can head out at this time. As I said, they are starting a new curriculum today, so you could pray for the teachers and our helpers and for these new kiddos. It's called The Biggest Story, really good gospel-based curriculum. It's good to hear the rumbling of kiddos in here in the morning. All right, for everyone else that's still in here, we're in 2 Corinthians this morning, continuing our series in 2 Corinthians. In chapter 3, I'm going to be in verses 17 through 18 this morning. So 2 Corinthians chapter 3, starting verse 7, we'll read the text here first. Second Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 7. Now if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not steadily look at the face of Moses because of its glory, transitory though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that brought condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has now no glory in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was transitory came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So, we're continuing in Paul making a defense of his ministry here in 2 Corinthians. Here, highlighting the contrasting glory of the Old Covenant ministry versus the New Covenant ministry. So this week, I've had a pretty bad knot in underneath one of my shoulder blades, so I've been pretty grumpy, funny but not funny at the same time. And I was thinking through this passage this week. Have you ever wanted to change something about yourself? I'd love to change that knot, but I'd love to change my impatient, ungrateful heart that takes it all out on the people around me when I'm not feeling well or not doing well. Is there anything in your life, your heart, you'd like to change? Well, Paul's going to highlight here, there's a massive difference between what Moses' ministry could do and what New Covenant ministry could do. A massive difference through what God did through the Old Covenant and what he now does since Christ came and died and rose. So notice with me how Paul starts here. He starts off with a question. Now, if the ministry that brought death, he's talking about the old covenant under Moses, which was engraved in letters on stone, referring to the Ten Commandments, that whole covenant, if that came with glory, so much glory even that the Israelites could not steadily look at Moses' face, like you heard in that Exodus text I read, because of its glory, temporary, transitory though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? Now, it's important here to think about what is glory to begin with. Not an easy word to be fine. There are glorious things in this world, but you probably don't say that's glorious. Maybe you do. Maybe you see a mountain or something like that. But what is glory? Well, Paul here, he knows his Old Testament. He knows the Exodus narrative. You might have just heard me read what Moses asked God. What did he ask God? He said, "Show me your glory." And then what did God do? God revealed his name to him. He said, "The Lord, Yahweh." And then he revealed how good he is, how merciful he is, how compassionate he is, and how just he is. Essentially, he revealed his holiness to Moses. And then he goes through and gives Moses the Ten Commandments again. So we could think of God's glory in a lot of ways, of him just revealing himself to us. And because of who he is, perfect in everything, holy, just and good, merciful and compassionate. When people come into contact with God, it's a glorious thing. He's the very definition even of what glory is. And so he shows Moses his back in that narrative. Moses was a mediator of the old covenant, right? So we read there in Exodus, Moses would go in and talk to God. Because he encountered God, his face would shine and he would come out and the people would be scared because of what his face looked like. Because he interacted with God, God's glory was mediated to the people. It was a derivative glory. God's glory made Moses' face even look glorious. And Paul says here that there was much glory in Moses' ministry. So what he's not saying, Paul's not saying, look at Moses when you read the Old Testament, no glory there at all, the New Covenant's just way better. No, his point here is there was a ton of glory in that Old Testament thing. Think about when God gave the Ten Commandments on the mountain. People didn't even want to come touch it because they would get wiped out. Later with the tabernacle, only the high priest would go in once a year because if anyone went in unclean to God's presence, he would wipe them out. God's glory was a scary thing for a sinful and unclean people. But Paul does argue here that the glory of the new covenant far surpasses that old covenant ministry. And he highlights two main ways, in its results and in its duration, how long it lasts. So notice how he described Moses' ministry. It brought death, whether it was the people that were touching the mountain that they weren't supposed to, or judgment for sin. Paul says here in verse 9 that it brought condemnation. That's what the law does, right? When we become aware of God's standards for how we are to live, we realize we can't live up to those standards. It brings death. And in this way, the law acts as a mirror that reveals our sinfulness, right? We look into the law, we look at the Ten Commandments, and we realize we can't live that way. It brings spiritual death to us. We remember what Paul said in Romans, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." All have sinned and live not the way God designed it to. This covenant could not change hearts. It was only written outside on stone tablets, not on fleshly human hearts, like he highlighted last week. So that's the results of the old covenant. What about the duration of the old covenant glory? How long that glory lasted? Well, for the Israelites, it was shining so much in one sense, they couldn't look at Moses' face, right? So this is a big deal. But also, Moses had to keep going back to God to get revelation. You might have noticed I said, so Moses would go into the tent of meeting, meet with God, come out, his face would be shining. He'd tell the people what God said. He would run out of what God told them, put a veil over his face again until he had to go back in and essentially get more glory. The glory would wear off. The glory didn't pass on from him to anyone else. And Paul says here that this glory was transitory. Passing away is probably a better way to think of it, fading. The glory of the old covenant ministry was only meant to last for a certain amount of time. So the glory of the old covenant was temporary. It was passing away. Even if we think about Moses, Moses died at some point, right? No other man in the Old Testament was able to go into God like that, and it said of him that his face shined. So think of who Paul's writing to. Probably primarily Gentile church, but there's Jews there too. The glory of Moses' ministry would have been a huge deal. This guy who could go into this tent and talk with God like it was face to face and come out with his face shining so brightly that you were scared to go near him. Moses, it was a big deal. But Paul says the new covenant ministry, the glory of it, far surpasses even that. Because, he's going to highlight, the new covenant has power to bring change to people's hearts. Power to bring change to people's hearts. So he highlights, Paul, of how it has surpassing results. The new covenant brings not death, but eternal life by the Spirit. We saw in our test last week. The Spirit gives a new heart, writes God's law not on stone tablets, but in the human heart so that their letters of recommendation. It brings righteousness, Paul says here in verse 9, not condemnation. The opposite of condemnation. A right standing before God, because there's righteousness to bring to the table. So the new covenant's ministry is supreme in its results and supreme in its duration as well. It lasts. Paul says it is that which is continuing or remaining. He says that in verse 11 there. How much greater is that which lasts, that which remains, that which keeps going? So in a way, Paul's comparing the old covenant ministry, Moses' ministry, to Paul's ministry, new covenant ministry, and it's sort of like comparing the moon and the sun. So if you think about the moon, when it starts, say we start at the full moon, right? Glory shining. But it, even as morning comes, that glory fades and the sun outshines it completely. Even the cycle of the moon, it goes to less and less and less and fades and goes away. That was like what the old covenant ministry was under Moses, just for those people at that time. And the sun has taken its place, always shining, always there, just like the sun with the ability to bring life. So, Jews at this time, the people Paul is talking to, even these Gentiles might have been thinking, heard these Old Testament stories and thinking, I want to go back to the glory days. And Paul's point is, you are in the glory days. You are in the glory days. And he starts to explain that in the rest of this passage. So the new covenant ministry has surpassing glory, way more glory to it than Moses did on the mountain, way more glory than Moses did on the tent of meeting. So if Paul just showed up and said that to us, you say, all right, Paul, well, you have to explain. How does that make any sense? You're just telling me that? My face isn't shining preaching the gospel right now. But Paul holds out hope here, even for preachers of the gospel, that anyone who preaches the gospel has better access to God and more power to change people's lives than Moses did. Better access to God than he did in the tent of meeting, face to face, and more power to change people's hearts than Moses did. So again, do you have anything you want to change about your life? Or elders, or young men, you want to change the world? Preach the gospel. Become a preacher of the gospel. And you'll have far more glory, see far more glory than Moses was able to in the Old Testament. And this is a hope for ministers of the new covenant. This is what Paul is going to get into. That through it, through the gospel, through the new covenant ministry, people can actually change. Not just people can change, communities can change, lives can change. So Paul says here, he continues in verse 12, that because of the surpassing glory of the new covenant ministry, ministers can be very bold. You see that in verse 12? Paul says, therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. Not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. So I don't think Paul's saying Moses, he didn't want to keep telling the people what God was saying. I think Paul's saying here that the glory on Moses' face was fading away. And because the people were stiff-necked people, Moses would put the veil back on to not show them that they wouldn't hope in Moses. Moses wasn't the point. His shining face wasn't the point. Think just a couple chapters earlier, right? The people come to the mountain. God just freed them from slavery in Egypt. Moses goes up to get the Ten Commandments. What do the people do? They make a golden calf and they call it God, right? God had just done miraculous things above them. Stiff-necked people. So I think Moses was concerned they wouldn't just focus on him and wanted them to look at God. And Paul says here, we're not like Moses, though. Gospel preachers are not like Moses. They just lay it out there, lay out Christ, the only way to be saved. Like Paul says in Romans 1, we are not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation to all who would believe. Moses preached the law, the requirements of God, but with no power to change the people. Paul, on the other hand, knows Christ. He knows the one who is the fulfillment of all of God's promises. So unlike Moses, who veiled his face to prevent people to see how the glory would fade away, Paul is proclaiming a glory that lasts forever in Jesus Christ, God's revelation of himself. Think of even Paul's example, right? Similar to what Jews in the Old Testament would have been. In verses, Paul says what happens right now. Let's look at verse 14. He says, but they're talking about the Israelites, but their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. So you would think, if you were an Old Testament Jew, Israelite, how could you miss that, right? All of that glory, all that amazing stuff God's doing. But even the example of Paul's life, he did that. Paul was an MVP Jew in many ways. He was trained in the best seminary you could think about it. He had the whole pedigree, the ethnic background that should have helped him see all of this stuff. He knew his Old Testament, yet he was persecuting Christians. And Jesus has to come, knock him off his horse with a blinding light, with a glory, to later say that he must regain his sight by being filled with the Holy Spirit. Even Paul, who knew all this Old Testament glory, all of these amazing things that happened, still didn't see God fully in a way that changed him, changed his heart. He needed to have a revelation of Christ. That's what Jesus did on the Damascus Road. Or think about the Transfiguration. Think about these three Jewish guys with Peter, right, with Jesus, right? Peter, James, and John. They go up the mountain with him. Jesus shines, not just his face, but his whole clothes shines as bright as the sun. And Moses and Elijah show up, and what does Peter do? He wants to make a tent for everyone to hang out. Missing the point, right? Missing the point. And they keep the disciples keep going on, missing who Jesus really is. Not seeing this is God. This is the clearest revelation, the glory of God. No power to change their hearts in Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets. Only in Christ and having an encounter with the glory of Christ. So is there glory in the law and the prophets? Was there glory in Moses' ministry? Of course. But don't settle for that. Paul says in those verses I just read, only in Christ is the veil taken away. Whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. What's he saying there? He's saying as soon as anyone recognizes Jesus Christ as God, the Son of God, that turns to God in Christ, the blinders come off. Just like happened with Paul. They see the glory of God. The veil from their hearts even is removed, so that they can go in and be with God through Christ. We see the glory of God's goodness. And while Moses got to speak with God face to face inside the tent of meeting, while Moses had many manifestations of God's glory, we see the goodness of God, the glory of God, the mercy of God, the compassion of God, the justice of God in dealing with sin most clearly. Where do we see it? In Christ on the cross and in his resurrection. Much more clearly than Moses even saw it, seeing God's back and speaking with him face to face. And Paul says that there is freedom in this. Now the Lord is the Spirit, he says in verse 17, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. What's he talking about? Well, in context here, freedom from condemnation for sin, freedom from the law as a covenant, it's eternal life, freedom to live as God made us to live. That's what he's getting at in verse 18, which we'll let's dig in at verse 18 for a few minutes. He says, "And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is Spirit." So if you've been a believer for a long time, you think about changing sin, parts of your heart you want to change. It doesn't always feel like it's happening with ever increasing glory, does it? Doesn't for me. Day to day, moment to moment, week by week, year by year even, right? Struggling with the same type of stuff. But what Paul's saying here, it is happening with an ever-increasing glory. What do we make of that? How is this possible to change like that? Well, Paul did say there, God removes the veil, right? We all with unveiled faces, like Moses. So notice, in the Old Covenant, one guy, Moses, could do that, right? What does Paul say here? We all, everybody in the New Covenant, everyone who trusts in Christ, veil off, go see God. Go see the glory of God. Talk about a total breath of change in ministry. Moses' glory, the old glory, it was only on his face. Everyone in the New Covenant can go in and see God, has access to him through Christ. That's what Paul's saying. Only in Christ is the veil taken away. We all, ministers and everyone else, not just Moses, but everyone in the New Covenant who trusts in Christ by faith. And he says our faces have been unveiled. And it's not clear there in the NIV, but that's a passive thing. God has done that. God has made it possible for you to see his glory in Christ if you see it. Given us minds to comprehend. Hearts that are able to see it. He says we all, with God having unveiled our faces, contemplate the Lord's glory. The word underneath there is looking at something as if you're looking into a mirror. So what do you do when you look in a mirror? You're looking at yourself, right? Or car mirrors, you're looking at something that's behind you. But if you're looking in a bathroom mirror, you're looking at yourself, what you look like. And what Paul's saying here is that for those who trust Christ, when you look in the mirror of salvation, you see Jesus. You don't see yourself. That's good news. When you're struggling with changing and wanting to grow and having stuff in your heart, how often do you just look right at how guilty and sinful you are and get stuck there, right? Paul's saying in the New Covenant, veil's been removed. We look in the mirror of salvation and we see Christ. Not our righteousness, Christ's righteousness. And Paul's saying here, the more we keep looking at that, beholding the glory of God in Christ, then God, passive verb again, transforms us into his image, Jesus' image, with ever-increasing glory. Ever-increasing glory. So, though it might not feel like it day to day, brothers and sisters, the way to change is to look at Christ. Look at the glory of Christ. How do you do that? Through sermons, through studying the Bible, through looking at Jesus' life. This all happens from God, who is the Spirit. But it really is a question of faith. When you sin and you struggle with changing, where do we look the most? Do we just look at ourselves? That would have been like old covenant people look in the mirror. No power to change. In the new covenant, we have access to God in his glory in the face of Jesus Christ. So we look and look and look and trust that God will change us. So with ever-increasing glory, Paul says here. Literally, he says from glory to glory. What is he saying? I think what he's getting at is, if God saved you, you are a new creation. So when you look in that mirror, that's who God sees. He sees Jesus, his righteousness, not yours. But Paul does talk other places, right? We look as if looking in a mirror dimly. A mirror isn't the same thing as the actual reality, right? You're looking at a reflection of something. I think what Paul's saying here is that God is changing us now from what's invisible inside of us. Our faces aren't shining everywhere like Moses were, but God is doing something inside of us that makes us shine. Or even if you just think about good witness you've had to people around you, people who know there's something different about you through how you suffer or live, and they ask you, well, why do you live that way? Why do you think that way? It's because of this change that God is doing in us all the way till glory where we're with Christ and we'll be seen for who we actually are underneath. Paul will say later, treasures in jars of clay. This reality that is true for us, this transforming glory. So, Paul compared the glory of the old covenant ministry, it was temporary, couldn't change. New covenant ministry has the power to change hearts, including your own, and you have everyone in it has access to go look at God. So keep looking to Christ. Trust you can change, and there is hope for change, regardless of what's going on in your heart. The word for transformed here, it's only used a couple other times in the New Testament, same word used for when Jesus was transfigured. And the word is, it's metamorphosis in Greek, which I think is actually really helpful in a lot of ways. Think about the little caterpillars, they get in a cocoon, right? Ugly. Ugly on the outside, right? But what's going on inside of that thing? And what happens when that breaks out of a cocoon? A beautiful, glorious butterfly. That's what Paul was talking about here. In your daily life, it might not feel like change is there. It might not feel like God is doing something all the time. Keep your eyes set on Christ. On Resurrection Day, it's all coming. It's all going to be glory for everyone to see. We'll see him, and we'll be just like him because we'll see him as he is, brothers and sisters. So let's trust in that Christ. Let's pray. Father, it's so hard in our walks trying to follow you. Just to struggle with change. We struggle with the same stuff some of us we struggle with for decades, or even struggle with the same stuff we struggle with before we were Christians and you brought us to faith. And God, we want to be rid of those things, but we know just in this life we have weak minds. We are stiff-necked like the Israelites can be. We have hard hearts sometimes towards you. We want to go our own way, be our own king, our own ruler. But God, we also give up hope very often that we can change, that change is happening. It's hard to see on a day-to-day process. God, would you help us to remember you've taken the veil off of our face and hearts. We can see all of your glory, so much greater than Moses could, in Christ and in his person, in his work, what he's accomplished for us, even where he is right now, ruling and reigning for us. So help us, God, to do that, to set our eyes on him by faith, to always think, set our minds on things that are above where you are, Christ, ruling and reigning. Would you help us to help each other do that? And God, we do look forward to that day and trust that you are the one who is transforming us, even now to this cocoon that we're in, being changed inside, being become more beautiful inside. But there's one day where all of that glory in our resurrection bodies will be on display, and we'll worship you for that in all of your glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand as we sing our final song together.
We were waiting without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. Kingdom coming, and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation, you did not despise the cross. For even in your suffering, you saw to the other side, knowing this was our salvation, Jesus for our Savior died. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise. loving that you rose, all of heaven held its breath. To that stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe. For the souls of all who come to the Father are restored. And the Church of Christ was born, and the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not kneel, shall not fade. By His blood and by His name, in His freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings, praise forever to the King of Kings.
On tonight, building snowmen here. Just kidding. Obviously, no SNL tonight. No men's Bible study tomorrow night. Stay safe. Here's the same benediction I read last week. I think I'm going to read it next week, too, just because the glory of... This is the Aaronic blessing to Moses in the Old Testament. It was true for Moses. How much more even true for us who have seen the light of the glory of God in Jesus' face. If you turn from your sin and trust in Him, you see God's glory way clearer than Moses did, even being in that tent of meeting. This is what the Lord said to Moses. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. We have all of that in Christ. Let's sing the doxology to close our time. Praise God.